understand what we're doing today, but the parents understand it. We understand it. And as a congregation, we want to draw alongside to this couple and say, we want to walk with you in terms of bringing up your baby in the fear of the Lord, bringing up your child in the fear of the Lord. Because what is our world? I mean, our world, we don't even have to try and define it and describe it today. Our world is really complex and really complicated. And if you're really trying to bring up a child in the midst of that, just wait until they're teenagers, and then you'll already begin to feel and understand what is happening in your family. But it's not just about being teenagers. It's about finding something more that will help them through the greater part of their life. And so there's a scripture in Mark 10 that says this, that we're bringing children to him, and that is Jesus, that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. And I think that's the first response. Kids, behave yourself. I grew up in a household like that. It was always kids, go and play outside, don't count teeth, don't stand inside you, don't be part of what we're doing. But Jesus rebuked them when they said, go away, the master's too busy. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant. And I mean, that's quite a strong word for Jesus. He was indignant. And he said to them, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God. And truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Wow. So what an example we have today of little Marley, submissive, in the arms of her parents, coming into the kingdom as an example for us of how to do it. And it's a totally surrendered position. It's a totally surrendered posture. And then he took the children, Jesus took the children in his arms, and he blessed them, laying his hands on them. So we need to receive this as a very special moment. So I'm going to invite Marnus and Lindy to come to the front. They're special. They're well known to most of us here this morning. And especially your visitors, you brought a whole church along with you this morning, which is like a super privilege for us to have you guys with us. Honestly, we really do enjoy having the fact that you are here as part of this, because you are going to be co-partnering with this couple in terms of this little one's future in a very special way. So let's submit our heart to that. And John, so I was going to say, come sit by me, but you're already standing, so let's keep it there. All right.
Hello, Amo. ek is gewoon baie op my sene wees nou. Ach, is so lekker om vandag, ja, baie familie te hee, want is familie in Jesus, familie, bloedfamilie, alle familie. Ek wil net begin deur alle eer vir die Here te gee. So 2 jaar terug het ek en Marnus die hartsbegeerte gehad om ons gesin uit te brei en 'n kindjie te hê. En ons het dit na die Here se voete toe gebring en ek onthou die aand het ons gebid het en vir Here gesê het, Here, ons is nou reg, asseblief, stuur vir ons 'n kind. En ja, 2 jaar later staan ons hierso met ons 7.5 maande ou baba dogtertjie Marley. En ek wil net regtig die Here se naam oplig vir die feit dat hy ons hartsbegeertes laat gebeur en dat ons hier kan staan en ons dogtertjie kan hê en sy bring soveel vreugde. Dis vir my so lekker as ons winkel toe gaan of waar ook al ons gaan, Marley lag en glimlag en mense wil gesels en ja, ek kan net nou al sien hoe sy die Here se lig skyn. Dis vir my ongelooflik spesiaal as mamma om dit te ervaar. Dan wil ek net ook Marley se geboorte getuienis ken, vir julle vertel. So, op 32 weke, toe ek nou swanger was, het ek deur die nag nie Marley gevoel, die een nag nie. En dit was so my rarig, soos die oggend staan ek op en ek soos, wow, iets is verkeerd. En ek besluit toe dadelijk, okay, ek gaan nie nou twyfel hieroor nie, ek gaan nou net hospitaal toe gaan, want ek is nogal hardkoppig. Dis baie van julle weet, maar in elk geval, ek besluit toe, ek gaan hospitaal toe. En hulle doen, die sisters doen 'n stres toets en hulle soos, nie alles is okay en ek voel nie tevrede nie. Ek was soos, die gevoel in my hart, ek denk wat die Heilige Gees in my gegee het, was iets is nie reg nie. En ek vra toe toevallig vir 'n doktersbrief en hulle stuur my toe dokter toe en die dokter kom uit, dis nou nie my gynekoloog gewees nie, was 'n random gynekoloog gewees, ek was nou baie op my senuwees gewees en hy sê toe vir my, kom ons ondersoek jou, en mama ry nie so ver vir niks nie, want ek het van Darling afgery. En dit was nogal ongelooflik dat daai dokter ingetree het en dit gesê het, en hy ondersoek my toe en alles lyk toe positief. En na rukkie sê hy vir my, ja, mevrou, dit lyk of jou vrugwater is baie min. So dis obviously nie goed gewees nie, en my vrugsak het gebreek. So my water het gebreek. En ek was soos, excuse, obviously heilig nou, en ek is emotioneel, en hierdie ginekoloog was soos van die Here gestuur. Hy het letterlik my foon gevat en vir Marnus gebel, en met Marnus gepraat, want ek kon nie 'n woord regtig uitkry nie. Ek sê net, water breek, jy moet kom. En in elk geval, arme Marnus, weet jy wat, ja. En ek is toe opgeneem, en vir 3 weke lank lê ek nou daar en wag. En of Marley nou natuurlik gaan kom, en of ons gaan half induksie doen en moet intree of 'n keiser kry of wat ook al. En 3 weke later gaan ons ginekoloog toe en ons doen 'n ondersoek en ons kom agter haar gewig is het gestagneer, dit basies stil gestaan. En die dokter sê toe, nee, luister, môre gaan ons 'n keiser doen. Dit lyk nou nie baie goed nie. En ek kry toe die keiser die volgende oggend en Marley is 3 Julie gebore. En sy is toe opgeneem na die NICU toe, wat vir ons regtig moeilik was. Dit was as 'n gesin, 'n jong gesin, wat nou 'n verwagting het van babas op die bors, en dis net idillies, en jy het al hierdie Instagram prentjies van al die mamas, wat soos, dit lyk soos die hemel, en nou is my baba in 'n ander scenario, en dit was regtig moeilik vir ons gewees. Maar wat vir ons uitgestaan het, was die feit dat ons elke dag het ons gegaan en ons het vir die Here gevra, kom beskerm Marley. En Marley se naam beteken eintlik beskermd, wat regtig spesiaal is. En ons het dit geweet toe ons haar naam gekies het nie. En dit het vir ons gevoel in 'n moeilike stormtydperk, dat ons is besig om 'n marathon te hardloop en ons is geblinddoek. Ons weet nie lekker wat gaan aan nie en hoe moet ons maak nie. Maar die Here het elke dag deurgekom. En in daai oomblik toe ons babatjie in daai scenario gehad het, het ons besef dat Marley is God se kind voordat sy my kind is of ons kind is. So ja, dis nou net wat ek vir gedeel het. Kan ek op vat?
Ja. Ja. I'll do English. Morning everybody. for very English people. Firstly I just want to say that we are so grateful to be here with family, and family in Christ, and family in blood, and family in law. Everyone who's in here, even if you're friends, you are friends who we chose as family, and we are grateful to have you alongside us. And as Lindy shared such beautifully on Marley's journey, and we would often, after Marley was born, we would joke with one another looking at her while she was still very smaller than what she is now, and we would say to one another, who would have known that the end result of a pregnancy would be a child? Like, we knew Lindy was pregnant, we knew there was something brewing, but I didn't think that we fully comprehended what it meant to have a child. And when Marley was in our house, I can remember the first day we took her home, it was quite a rainy day, overcast, it was beautiful. But we stepped into our house, and Marley was lying on the bed, and we looked at one another, and we said, what do we do now? as we often do. And in that period, the responsibility or the awareness of the responsibility of raising a little individual to reflect Christ has come up. And we became so aware of that. And one thing that we are even more aware of is the fact that we are part of a body of people who are alongside us, who has been alongside us through that entire journey. And often, whilst we were in that journey of the hospital period, we said that if we didn't have the support that we have in this room, and if we didn't know Christ and walked with him in a relationship like we do, we would not have been able to cope with that. And I think the same spills over into raising Marley. And we've been raising her for 7.5 months, and we still have a long way to go, but I feel at ease with the fact that we are part of a body who can carry this with us, and that we are in a relationship with the living God who dictates us, and we are in tune with his spirit and often convicted by his spirit to become better parents, to become better individuals, to become better spouses for one another, and also to become more involved with the body that we have here. And whilst we were looking at Marley and we were raising her, I was reminded of Lindy and my wedding text, which is John 15, so the parable of being in the vine, and Christ being the vine, and just being in tune with that, and the branches that don't bear fruit will be pruned or will be removed. And during our wedding period, or during our wedding day, our vows to one another was that we would strive through everything we do to remain in the vine. And the same is what we would want to say towards Marley, is that as parents, we see Marley not as a vine on her own yet, but as a little bud that is forming on the same vine, the same living vine that we are in. And we know that what flows through Lindy and myself flows through Marley as well. And we see that. We see that in the way she interacts with people in this room. And wherever she enters, there's this light that goes along with her. During Lindy's pregnancy period, we spent so much time praying over Marley and just dedicating her life already then to God, and becoming aware of the fact that although she is our daughter in flesh, she is Christ's daughter before she is ours. And one day, Lindy and I will stand in front of Christ, and we will have to give account for how we raised Marley and how we, the example that we gave to her. So that can become an overwhelming thought, but we rest in the fact that we are already part of the vine. And we're part, not just part of the vine, we're part of a vineyard, which is the body of Christ. And we don't have to do this alone. So for that, I want to say thank you. Thank you to everyone here. And yeah, I just want to honor God in the fact that we have this little bundle of joy. And yeah, she's just been a pleasure to raise. And I believe that it will remain a pleasure to raise her as she goes forward. Yeah. Before we pray, I want to pray, and I think Lindy might pray as well. If there's friends and family who want to come alongside or come around Marley, Lindy and myself, just to join us in prayer, please do come, sir. And the darling come as well. Yeah. Yeah, Lord, we just praise you for Marley. We praise you for the journey that we have gone through and how this journey is used to glorify you, Jesus. Lord, and thank you for bringing Lindy and myself to one another and imparting Marley into our lives. Lord, we dedicate her to you. We know that she is yours, Lord. May she love you more than we love you. May she reflect you throughout her life more than we do, Lord. May she be in tune with your spirit, Jesus, constantly. May people, when they see her, whenever and whatever room she enters, may they see you. May they experience your spirit, Lord. And may the fruit that she bears for you be abundant, Lord, and be luscious. May she reflect you in every part of her life, Lord. And Jesus, where Lindy and I might go astray, I ask that your Holy Spirit convict us so that we will be in tune with you and that we will raise Marley in a way that reflects you. For we are sinful people, Jesus, but we strive deeply to reflect you in everything that we do, Jesus. We praise you that we are part of this body, Lord, that loves Marley as much as we do. And may she become aware of what it is to be in community and to be with community through the people in this body, Jesus. Praise you, Lord.
Here, hierdie klein lyfie het so diep in ons harte gekruip. Maar voordat sy in ons harte ingekruip het, Jesus, het sy in jou hart ingekruip. En sy is definitief joune voor sy onsen is. En vanoggend soos ons voor U staan, Here, bid ek asseblief dat Marley se lewe net 'n getuienis sal wees van hoe sy jou volg, Here. Hoe sy ma en pa kyk en sien hoe dat hulle lewens vir jou gelei word, dat sy in hulle voetspore sal volg, Here. That she will really become a true disciple of you, Lord Jesus. As she looks to mom and dad and sees how they do life. And Lord, that she will be so in love with you, I pray. In love with you. And that she will follow you all the days of her life, Lord, as you walk with her, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Yeah, all of you standing around here, please, I want you to take the liberty, not necessarily to pray for them now, but I know you carry them on your heart. You love them as a couple, and you love this new little creature that has been given to them. Pray for them. Pray into their lives. Pray daily for them. If you can remember, pray daily. And if you really want to do something really special for them, take the opportunity. You've got some cell phones that actually do voice notes. Send her a little voice note, this little one, send her a little voice note and say, we're thinking of you, we love you, you're precious, you're special. That on her 16th birthday and her 21st birthday and all the other birthdays that she has along the way, that she can enjoy those moments that you have prayed and spoken over her little life. So will you do that? Become part of it? I want to pray for the couple. And if anyone really wants to just step out and pray, that's okay. We can do that too. Bless you, my girl. Love you, see? Yeah. Thank you, Father. We cannot explain a moment like this. And I'm sure it's a moment that you enjoy often when your children come to you, when your children honor you as Father. So I want to pray for this mom and dad. I want to pray that they will have the inclinations, the motivations, the heart to bring Marley into a world that is very difficult, very challenging, but bring her into a world with the knowledge that Jesus is there with them. Amen. May they help her to find the presence of Jesus in every aspect of her life, from when she's small, even to when she's much older and able to fend for herself. I pray that they pass down into her life will become the mainstay of her life, the mainstay, the anchor of her life, to know that because they know Jesus, because they follow the Lord, because they give everything of their lives to the Lord, that she too can follow, not only in their footsteps, but in the footsteps of the Master, Jesus Himself. Bless them, Father, I pray. Bless them as a couple. Give them strength and courage in all that they do, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Anyone really want to hop out here, do something? Or send them a message, okay? If you don't send the message, I was going to say I'll haunt you. That sounds terrible. But it's a command. Okay, you just do it. Bless them. May their hearts be rejoicing in the fact that you are with them as a family. Even if you say, hello, Marley. Love you, girl. You're such a special one. All right. Thank you so much, guys. Beautiful. Yeah, let's do this. Come sit up on me. He said he wants to pray for me before I preach. So let him pray for me before I preach. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Jesus, we just praise you for Henry. And we praise you for Henry and Miriam, who you have imparted into this body as the people who take account for us and the people who steward us, Lord. And may we open our hearts and hear what Henry wants to share for us, what he feels you want to share with us, Lord. And may we experience your word, not Henry's words. And may we prepare our hearts, Jesus. May we soften our hearts so that the word can be imparted into our lives. And may we leave here, Lord, serving you more dearly than what we entered. Amen.
Bless you. Thanks, Henry. Thank you, too. All right, there we go. Just switch off my camera there, otherwise we'll keep taking photos. Yeah? Oh, let's get in the middle. Man in the center. All right, thanks a lot, my man. All right, let's make eye contact. Become present with me. All right. We're doing the preach this morning. I really felt, just with Marley and the whole experience around the family, that we really take the opportunity of finding something maybe special about not only the occasion, but something about our God and how our God desires to really be with us in such a special place. And so the title of my preach this morning, I changed it. I started off by thinking At the Feet of Jesus was pretty cool as a preach title. And then I felt, no, it's deeper than that. So I'm calling my preach this morning, The Secret of the Secret Place. What is the secret of the secret place? And why change it from sitting at the feet of Jesus? Sounds so natural, sitting at the feet of Jesus. I can tell you now, if I had to go around the room and ask each one of you, how comfortable do you feel sitting at the feet of Jesus? You would say, well, you know, I do my quiet time. I pray every day, or I read the Bible, or whatever. But we need to move away from almost that formula of just doing our quiet time, of just being there, in a sense, obligation to the Lord, of praying every day, of seeking His face every day, of reaching out to Him or leaning into Him, but getting into a place where His presence means more to me than just sending another WhatsApp or sending a little scripture to somebody else or reading that scripture and saying, oh, that's a cool scripture. What about it? What about the meaning of that place that you're actually in, the presence of Jesus? And I want to say this, the word that I would preach you today, even if I don't get to the point of saying it, I want to say it right up front. Becoming present in His presence is the secret of the secret place. Becoming present in the presence. How many times have you sat with people that they're not present? Friends, they're not present. Whatever, distracted in some way, torn away from the reality of being with you just as an individual. Come sit down by me, but they're not there. They're not in that space. And it's an active thing that you need to engage into, that you need to actually open up your heart to and say, what is the meaning of my religion? What is the meaning of my Christianity? What is the meaning of my relationship with God? The meaning of my relationship with God is a relationship, which means what? Means being present in His presence. Not the other way around. Sometimes we love, and I know that, we love the presence of God. And we often preach about it, and we often sing songs for the presence of God to appear, the presence of God to come. But even in that, we can lose the reality of being present in the presence. You get what I'm saying? I could end the preach there and just understand what I'm saying here in this moment. This is probably a secret in your life that you need to hang on to and find it. It's difficult to be Christian without that. I promise you. You're going to struggle through some of the aspects of your Christianity. I'm going to read a scripture or two in a moment, and it'll just bring in a picture for you that you can understand of this young lady. And I'm preaching that position of the young lady for Marley's sake, in a sense, too. But the word that I would have spoken over her life is the very word that I'm going to speak over your life today in terms of that. But let me just settle my heart. My notes are all over the place because I really felt in my heart I really need to focus on this one aspect of my preach to really get into that place. But let me say this to you. It always starts with an invitation. Let me read the portion of Scripture, and I'll read the first portion from Luke chapter 10. And it's about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and you probably heard the names. It's quite strange that there are very few names that are mentioned in relation to Jesus. Jesus doesn't have, seemingly does not have a lot of friends beside his disciples. I don't see any other names. I know Mary Magdalene was one of them. And then Mary, Martha, and Lazarus are the only names that seem to be mentioned in the Scriptures in relation to Jesus. And why was it? What was special about that? And Jesus loved, and I mean, he traveled a lot. I looked at the map of Israel, and it is huge in terms of actual travel by foot. Okay, if you wanted to travel from the top end of Israel to the bottom end of Israel, it's 400 kilometers. And somewhere in the journey of Jesus, in those last 3 years of his life, he actually traveled a lot of that 400 kilometers. Sometimes 150 kilometers, 2 or 3 days away from my starting point. Sleeping over, maybe in desert places, maybe wilderness places, maybe places that are weird. But that's just information. I'm giving you some information of the effort around this. So there are four main places that Jesus was actively engaged in. Four main places. The one is Capernaum, which is 150 kilometers from Jerusalem. And he was there often. And he was often in Jerusalem. So that was one of the places, Capernaum. Nazareth, the obvious one, his hometown. That's where he lived for most of his life. 30 years of his life was in Nazareth. And yet, even in Nazareth, it was a difficult time. And we'll learn a little bit about that in a moment. And then Jerusalem was the other one. And then the one that I want to talk about is the one in Bethany, the place where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived. Bethany. Not a really big place. It was probably similar to Azefontein. Away from the big city, away from, it was very close to Jerusalem, about 2 or 3 kilometers away from Jerusalem. So it was like walking distance, an easy walk. Easy, relative, if you can walk 3K, that's fine. I'm sure you try 3K at least once in your life. But that was a place that Jesus often presented himself and came there. And it started like this, and here's that scripture in Luke 10. Now, as they went on their way, the many ways that Jesus went, as they went on their way, Jesus entered the village, and a woman named Martha, listen to the words, welcomed him into her house. I wonder how often Jesus feels welcome in your house. There's a scripture in Revelation, Revelation 3:20, and I'm just referring to it, and I may refer to it again. The Revelation says this, "Behold, I stand at the door, and I knock. If any man will open, anyone will hear my voice and open, I will come in. And I will sup with him, or I'll have dinner with him, and he with me." There sounds something special about that. Now, that particular scripture, the one that I've read in Revelation right now, is that kind of, it was actually at the end of the seven churches. If you read the book of Revelation, I know this may be some scary stuff for you, may have never been to the book of Revelation, but the first 2-3 chapters of Revelation actually speak about the seven churches. And the one particular church, right at the end of that, he actually said to them, your life is neither cold nor hot. Now, I don't like that. I don't like the way you live. I wish that you were cold or hot. But because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. And then at the end of that particular portion about that church, he actually said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. I want to come in. I want to come in. And if you haven't heard the message today, I want to come in. I want you to hear it loud and clear today. I want to come in. I want to come in. I want to dine with you. I want to. I've come. I've knocked at your door. And what do I want from you? Open the door. Open the door to that place of becoming a partaker of who he is. Being present in his presence and not just like the religious thing. Oh, let's go to church. That's so religious. What about being a church? What about being his children? What about being the children of God? What about our worship, our times that we spend in the presence of God in worship? And worship is not just singing, guys. You know that. From the scriptures, it's not just singing. Singing is a good part of it. When you open up your heart, if you read the book of Psalms, it's all about singing from Psalm 1 to Psalm 150. Singing, singing, singing to the Lord, worshiping the Lord. But the heart of it is this, being in the presence of his presence. You being there in that place. You can have the best musicians, my friend, and you can still lose that opportunity of being present in the presence of the living God. Let me say this to you. There's no middle way. There is no middle way. There are two kingdoms. Kingdom of light, kingdom of darkness. There are two destinies, heaven or hell. There's no middle way. We cannot sit here, and I'm not trying to fight with any particular person here today. I just want you to understand there is no other way. You're either in or out. There's no other way. You can't sit on the fence. There is no fence. And if you do find a fence, you'll probably find it belongs to the evil one. Two pathways, the narrow road and the broad road. You choose one. You choose light or darkness. You choose heaven or hell. There are two lords, the Lord Jesus. And the other one, I don't want to even mention the name. But the fact is, there's only one that died for you. There's only one that died for you. The devil never died for you. He didn't die for you. He steals from you, kill you, destroy you. But the one who died for you gave his life, poured out his life for you. Is that not a worthy opportunity for us to actually bow our heads before him and worship and honor him and give him everything, give our full attention in his presence when we do have our quiet time, that he knows that we're there? That would be awful to sit in the presence of the Lord and for him not to know that we're there. You know what I'm saying, guys, but listen to this. Let me get back to the story because I'm missing a whole big punchline out of the story here. And anyway, Martha welcomed Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Same home, same place. Martha welcomed him into her house. Seems like she was the owner, or the husband doesn't seem to be around, but it may be in a later story somewhere else. But let's leave it at that. And then it says in verse 39, she had a sister called Mary. Mary. Let's call her Marley this morning. She had a sister, Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened. I know it says listen to his teaching, but she listened. That means you're present. You're listening. You've got an active ear. You've got an active heart. Your heart is engaging with the one who's sitting in front of you, not just sitting there. And then what does it say about Martha? But Martha was distracted by serving. Let me tell you something, friends. In the world that we live today, that is our default. We are distracted by serving. Things like your work. We're facing big steps, guys. Big steps to take in our world. Big steps. A man once asked a fireman, you know what a fireman is, a guy who puts out fires. He said, what steps do I take when there's a fire? His answer was big steps. Big steps. No gaan ons braai is the wrong one. Because if you stand in the fire, you're going to burn. That would be the wrong answer. But there are times that even in a fire situation, my friends, that taking steps is inadequate. We need to jump. Standing on a 3-story, 5-story, 10-story building, whatever, and the fire is raging up until the 9th floor or whatever, and they stand down the bottom and they say, jump. I want to say to you as individuals today, jump. Find His presence and become present in His presence and live in that space where you can enjoy Him. God wants to be enjoyed. He doesn't want to be an attachment to your life. He doesn't want to be a badge on your collar. He doesn't want to be a little form that is signed. I've been present in church for the last 10 years. Be present in His presence. Getting married is a big step, maybe a big jump in the world that we live. Having a family, Maris, Lindy. It's a scary thing. I'm wearing my scary shirt today. It says, do scary things. Okay. I love preaching with a shirt because it often reminds me of the reality of how big this thing is, working and serving the Lord Jesus. It's not a small thing. It's a big thing. It's like, jump, jump. Take the opportunity, jump. Otherwise, you'll burn. And I'm not talking about hellfire. There's some of us that live on the edge of hellfire. But I am saying to you, be careful, my friend. There is only two ways, Jesus' way or the way of the enemy. Only two. It's scary. Oh, I don't know how I can preach this. It sounds like I'm right at your throat. But that's the enemy's place. It's not mine. This is the greatest love story that you will ever hear, that God loves you, died for you. For what purpose? For what reason? Oh, that I go to heaven one day. No, that you will spend your eternity in His presence. What does eternity look like? I mean, I can't imagine it. I get tired after 3 months. I need a holiday. Let's get out of here. I'm just using that as a silly example. But you know what I'm saying, guys? Our life is full of that. Full of being in the kitchen. Here's another title for this preach. The sister in the kitchen. Or being present in His presence. Or the secret of being in the secret place. And choose one that works for you. Because sometimes our lives are actually filled with the Martha story. I'm so busy. And nobody wants to help me. I'm on my own here. Come on, guys. Come on, work with me. Come on, make this thing happen. Work with me. Make it happen. And Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to the Lord and said to Him, do you not care? Jesus, don't you know how bad it is? How much work I've got to work? Most of us sitting here today are earning salaries. And probably not enough. I'm not fighting with you either. But it's a tough world out there. My very first motor car that I bought, brand new out the box. Imagine that. I'm an apprentice. I bought a brand new motor car out of the box. It cost me R1,200. Full price. Can't be. That's how old I am. Okay, forget it. Do you not care? God cares. And somehow in this picture, it's not about the one or the other. It's actually about both. But it's important that Martha's in the kitchen. It's important that you have a job. It's important that you're present in your family, in your life, and engaging in every aspect of your life. And it's a busy place. Our world is very busy. And guess what? The enemy goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And who will he devour the easiest? The busy ones. Not paying attention. Not engaged. Where you have lacked a little in terms of your understanding and being with Jesus. All right. Martha, Jesus said, you are anxious and troubled, the two words, about many things. But one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen the good portion. In the equation, there's a good portion. The equation of anxiety and work and the stuff that has to be done and finding the secret of the secret place. What is that one thing? The portion that she has chosen will not be taken away from her. It's an offering that Jesus is giving to each one of you today. It will not be taken away from you. But will you open the door? Number one, for him to come into your house. Number one, to come into your church if you don't belong to this church. And if you do belong to this church, even more so, open the door to our church. Let's become real with our God. It's not about a simple formula running from one end to the other. I spoke to the guys leading the mic and the mic and the other mic. I spoke to them this morning and I said, come, let's do it different. For the sake of doing it different? No. For the sake of being found in the secret place and living out the secret. And the secret place is simply this, being present in his presence. That's all he wants, being present in his presence. Let me close with the other scripture that I want to read about Mary. And that is in John. Let me just find it on my notes here. See, that's how easy you can get through your preach. Just becoming present in his presence. John 12. 6 days before the Passover. This is the last Passover that Jesus is going to experience as living on earth. Jesus therefore came to Bethany. Ah, is that a surprise to you? That he came to Bethany 6 days before he was actually going to enter into that last leg of his life here on earth at Bethany. And who was he with? Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. It actually says that he'd raised Lazarus from the dead somewhere along the line. Lazarus, the poor guy, died. And how did Jesus come to Lazarus? He said, come out. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the one. You think I'm just a being, a person who's here just to decorate the world and the planet and to die for the sins of the world? No, I am the resurrection and the life. I will die, but I will be resurrected, and I will be the pathway for you to be resurrected too. Anyway, I'm getting distracted by the many things. Lazarus, but let me read the portion properly to you. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus raised from the dead. So they gave dinner there, and Martha served. Is that a surprise? Again, my goodness me, didn't you learn your lesson, Martha? I said to you, and I'll say it to you again, it's not one or the other, it's both. It's just finding there are times that there is the better way, the better thing. And sometimes we are living in the kitchen. But there's a better way. There's a better way. The kitchen can come. The kitchen may have to wait. But choose the better way, being present in his presence. And then while all this was happening, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table, Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. What a difference from the first time that we meet with Mary to now. And it goes on to say, and the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. A poured out life. I could take you to the life of Paul at the end of his life where he says, I have fought a good fight, I have run a good race, and now I am, well, before that he actually said, I am ready to be poured out as a drink offering, becoming a vapor at the end of his life, being poured out. So that is, it's not a differentiator between the first time and the last time. It's that's where it started, and this is how it should end. being poured out. Poured out as a drink offering. So what does your fragrance smell like? Does it leave the essence of Jesus wherever you go? Does it leave the essence of Jesus in your home, in the life of little Marley? Does it leave the essence of Jesus? Would she feel the presence of Jesus early in her days? That she wouldn't have to struggle to find Jesus, that because the way her parents lived for the Lord, that she too will come into his presence and sit at his feet and become present in his presence. That she would know that. That would be my desire for her and my desire for you as you sit here today. Maybe the first time you've ever heard me preach, maybe the last time. That's not the objective. The objective is simply this, that you would find the presence of his presence. You in the presence of his presence. The secret of the secret place. That your fragrance, as you begin to pour out your life, let me tell you something, you will change if you are present in the presence. You will learn some things. I am still learning, my friends. And I've known the Lord for a long time. I'm still learning and I'm still yearning for more of to be present in his presence. And I have to learn to extract from the kitchen and get down in that place at the feet of Jesus and to know him and him to know me. And that we can talk together. And that sometimes I just need to listen. What are you saying? Where are you leading? How are you working with me? We may be distracted even in those moments, friends. But I am so fully aware that the anxiety is around us, all around us. Distracting us from the very reality of what God desires for our lives. Be aware that the enemy is behind that, seeking whom he may devour. Seeking whom he may devour. Don't lose your place. Don't lose your place in the race. A person was asked the question, he was a very powerful, strong marathon runner, and a young lad came up to him and he said, "What is the secret of being a good marathon runner?" And he said to him, "Young man, when you finish your race, if you're not finished, you haven't ran a good race. Spent, finished, poured out a fragrance in the presence of Jesus. May he smell your fragrance as you serve him in this week." I'm not going to make an appeal. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. We're going to worship in a moment. We may sing a song, maybe two. I don't know, where are we? 11:55. We're not trying to make a longer service or even a shorter service. We're not trying to wrap it up and say, no, we don't want any worship. Worship is part of who we are and what we are. So we're going to sing a song or two. But would you in that time, say, "God, yes. Yes. I want to be in your presence. I want to be present in your presence." Way back, some time ago, actually, as I came into this congregation, God had spoken to me about his presence. And he said this one thing, and it's kind of like, it's almost like a ridiculous thing to hear. God said to me, "I am present in my presence." Which means I'm a real person right here. So when you feel God, he's there. And God is here in this place today. I feel him. For us to become present in that very place. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord fill your heart with that desire to be present in his presence. The secret of the secret place. Always. Would you stand with me? Find your place in God. If you have lost your place, you don't know your way. Maybe you haven't even given your life to Christ. You don't even know what this is really all about. The church life, the only reason I'm here, and I'm speaking maybe to the visitors, maybe the only reason you're here is because of Marley. But that's okay. It's not the wrong reason. It's the right reason. because God chose this day and this place and this time and this preach for you, that you will find that place and you can say, Lord, I want to be yours. There's only two roads, heaven or hell. I choose heaven. I choose heaven. There are two ways. I choose the narrow way. Two ways. I choose the secret of the secret place and not the noise of the kitchen. Thank you, Father, this morning. I trust, Father, that even for me, that my heart would move. This distraction is easy, it's not difficult. But finding the secret place, I'm not sure it's a discipline, I'm sure it's just something of our heart, a posture that we assume. So I'm asking you, God, that you would change the posture of our hearts, that we would learn to be present in your presence. Holy Spirit, would you come? You said you could draw alongside us. Would you help us to find that place in every aspect of our walk with you? Even when we're following and we're hard at work, that we will be present in your presence. Always. The secret place is not something we do in the beginning of our day, but it is the all day long of our day. May we know that all the time. In Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, guys.